lucky in the lab late one night when my eyes beheld an eerie sight. For my monster from his slab began to rise, and suddenly, to my surprise,
he did the mash.
He did the monster mash.
The monster mash.
It was a graveyard smash.
He did the mash.
It caught on in a flash.
He did the mash.
He did the monster mash. From my laboratory in the castle east.
In a year where we have lost so many legends, we've lost another. We've not yet had the chance to recognize a great one that we have lost.
We have lost another, and there's a good chance you're going to be listening to this, and you're going to say, who are you talking about? Because I'm sure somebody else will die by the time you listen to this.
That's true. It's going to be really unfortunate if Trump dies in between now and
yeah, and everybody's going to be like, are they talking about Trump? Oh, man. No, we're talking about Eddie Van Halen.
Yes. An actual good person.
Yeah. Yeah. An actual legend that did good in this world by making fantastic music.
Yes, he did. He made good music, and he did it with style, and
without becoming a dictator.
That's true. Yes, he didn't become a dictator.
At least of the country, you know, maybe of the band. I don't know too much Van Halen history, but
there's some wild Eddie Van Halen stories that have come out over the last couple of days.
Eddie Van Halen stories. What's been your favorite one?
Oh. The one where he brought a military vehicle to get his gear back from Limp Bizkit.
Yeah. A full on, not quite a tank, but you know, like the one below a tank.
Right. Yeah. A full on military vehicle. And my favorite part is that there's a quote from him that he was like, they said like jamming with them was like being a scholar amongst children or something like that. Oh, man.
A brutal insult.
Yeah.
Another great part of that story is that was in Beverly Hills. He was rolling up. Yeah. like the fucking like ritziest place. Like, oh my God. It was just incredible shit.
Yeah. That's a good one.
He never got away from his roots of just being crazy.
Do you have one that's not that one?
Yeah, I do, but I'm trying to remember. I think I sent it to you earlier today.
I know he did the Beat It solo for free.
Not that one.
But the reason why he did it for free was because he thought it would, he thought assigning credits and stuff would be too complicated. He didn't want to deal with it. So he just told Michael Jackson, if you buy me some beer, it's fine.
That's a true fucking rock star right there. That's a true rock star. I'm going to be honest. I have a little bit of a love-hate relationship with Van Halen because their music fucking rocks.
Yeah.
But they inspired so much shit music. Like, I feel like all the rock in the 80s was inspired by them and Led Zeppelin. And most of it is complete garbage.
Yeah, they have a weird thing, like, because Eddie Van Halen as a guitarist is, like, extremely influential, like,
everyone who's, like, tried to sound like him after,
yeah,
but nobody was good, and it was just,
I think it's mostly on David Lee Roth. I think he was the one who pushed the, like, synth stuff.
Yeah, that's true. But I do think a lot of people try to like replicate his guitar playing style, and just didn't do it as well. Like all of like I'm trying to think of who, like Guns N' Roses. I mean, I guess they didn't try to replicate the guitar playing style, but like they like feel like an offspring of Van Halen, you know?
For sure, yeah.
And a bunch of other bands that I'm blanking on because it's really fucking hot in this room.
It's like hair metal and stuff.
All the hair metal is pretty,
80s
pretty
hair metal.
Not my cup of tea, you know. But their music was fucking awesome, and that's like they were fantastic.
Yeah, they were. So yeah, pour one out for a great one. Yeah, he's one of those too who's like guitarists, especially guitarists who are like maybe like 10 to 20 years older than us, like he's like their guy, like more often than not for most of those guys. So yeah, really inspirational dude. Very influential guitarist, and just a badass guy. Just did some crazy stuff.
And that's what you want out of a rock star. Is you just want you want great music and great stories, and he gives you both.
He does. He certainly does. All right, this is episode 84 of the Noah and Eric Show. We're halfway. Well, at this very moment, we're halfway through Spooktacular, Spooktober.
It's exciting. It's exciting. We're in the groove of it, you know?
We are. This is the third episode. There's one more after this one. But this one, we're doing a little six pack action. And boy, did I do too much research for these two episodes, Possibly.
You put the pressure on me, because once I realized how much movies you were watching for this, I was like, fuck, I gotta pick it up. And I've been watching a horror movie, like, every night for a week and a half.
Yeah, I've done that. I've been doing that, too. Well, it's because, like, that stupid Rotten Tomatoes list, which I acknowledge is really a bad list, to be honest. the top 100 horror movies for Rotten Tomato. I was like watching, I was trying to knock out, you know, as many of the classics as I could in preparation for these episodes. And at a certain point, I realized I'd watched like 17 of the top 25. And so I was like, well, I'm just going to watch the rest, other eight. And that was like,
the task.
Right. And so I made it to 21 of the top 25. But like,
that's really damn impressive though.
I'm going to watch those last four. You know I will, but...
no doubt. What are the last four, just out of curiosity?
Frankenstein, The Bride of Frankenstein, Freaks, and Repulsion.
Okay. I feel like I've read about Freaks before.
Yeah, and Repulsion looked interesting when I looked into it. To be honest, I'm not super excited for the Frankenstein's ones. I've never been, like, into that story of, like, all the... OG horror stuff, you know?
Yeah, there's a couple we'll talk about later on probably our next episode that kind of fit that mold.
But yeah, I mean, I'm gonna watch them just out of principle.
We are connoisseurs. It is our job to watch them.
As a connoisseur, like, this list is just... Oh, this list has changed since the last time I saw it. The top 25 is the same. But the bottom part is different.
That's interesting. I noticed the last one on the list was The Exorcist, which is crazy.
That's insane.
There are not 99 better horror movies than The Exorcist.
No, there's not. Also, no. You can make a... Yeah. Yeah, I mean, we could talk about it. There's also some movies that I consider horror movies that aren't on the list at all. There's movies that I do not consider horror movies that are on the list and are quite high on the list.
Like Pan's Labyrinth.
Pan's Labyrinth is at 22. No, it's at 23. See, the list has changed. It was definitely at 22.
If Pan's Labyrinth was a horror movie, it deserves that highness, you know, if not higher. But that ain't a horror movie.
No, it's not. It's not a horror movie at all.
Find out at the end the Pan is, where you know, the goat person is like a god, you know, like part of, like, he's not the devil.
Yeah, no, he's a good person, and like I think it's entirely off the back of Palm Eyes, that Palm Eyes scene. That's the only thing, but that doesn't make it a horror movie.
No, not at all.
Yeah, no, this list has definitely changed because Godzilla, the original Godzilla, is at 26, and it was definitely in the top 25 because I specifically watched it because it was. But I'm trying to figure out which one snuck in, and I've seen all of these. I'm pretty sure it's the same four I haven't watched, so maybe something snuck in that I have watched. I don't know. Maybe it's the list.
I've never respected growing lists. That's a cop out. You need to stand firm and stay stubborn. That's what I always say.
Yeah, and I also just vehemently disagree with, like, three of the top five.
That's true. Wait, I need to look up the top five now.
The top five, according to Rotten Tomatoes, is... Number one is Us. No. I love Us. It, but yeah, I'm an Us defender, but it's not the best horror movie ever made. Number two is Get Out. which seems
like that's both a little high. It's a little high. It's up there though. I like
it's more worthy of being here than Us.
Yeah,
I think, and I feel weird that the two Jordan Peele movies are one and two. Then there's like the 1920 silent movie, The Cabinet of Dr. Caligari, which I did watch. I watched it on Amazon. The Amazon version of it is not a good quality. It was really weird. It was like blurry, but like, it's kind of lame.
It's 2020. That's not supposed to happen.
I know. It is cool. Like, it's definitely like Tim Burton basically just like ripped off his style from this movie. It's pretty evident, which is kind of neat. Number four, A Quiet Place. Four?
Good again, movie.
I like that movie a lot.
I enjoyed it. It's not making the top five horror movies since 2015, though.
Right. Yeah, yeah. Much less all time. And then number five is King Kong, the 1933.
Okay.
Which, like, sure.
Yeah. We'll get into that later.
Yeah. Okay, but this is not an episode about the Rotten Tomatoes list and how we disagree with it. We are doing a six pack, the top six horror movie scenes, mm-hmm. and this one was very difficult because I watched a lot of horror movie scenes,
and they all kind of blend together on at a certain point.
Yeah, at a certain point. But I think I like the six I have, and I have many honorable mentions. Did you struggle with this list? Did you have a bunch? How did you go about putting together yours? I wasn't sure how rogue I should go with my list.
Yeah, I went pretty. There's a couple. Okay. Now that I'm looking at it, I went pretty rogue.
Okay.
I went very rogue.
That's fine. I didn't, so that's probably for the best.
Yeah, I think I went at it with like my strategy was Google good horror movies, mm-hmm. and then like YouTube scenes from those movies, you know? And I think I left off a lot of scenes that are are technically more important, you know, than, like my honorable mention list is going to be quote unquote more important than my actual list.
I see.
But I think it was scenes that were just incredibly well done or caught me completely off guard. I think that's a major thing. What I look for when I look at horror movies is I want to be like surprised and scared. You know, I think that the surprisal,
mm-hmm.
and that is a word, surprisal, is an important aspect for me.
Yeah, for sure. No, I like that. Yeah, I wrote like I just kind of. The way I put this list together is I, like, off the top of my head, the scenes that I, like, remember and stuck in my mind, and then I Googled to make sure I wasn't missing any. Let's dive into it. Do you want me to go first with my sixth?
Yeah.
And we're gonna go six to one, and then, but after two, we're gonna do the honorable mentions, like normal.
Yeah.
Number six, the nightmare scene from The Babadook.
Oh man, I thought about throwing a scene from The Babadook on here, but I thought the movie was just like I couldn't think of a single scene that really stood out to me.
Yeah, the
so why does this one stand out to you?
So this is the scene where I thought it was fucking scary. This is the scene where the Babadook creeps into her room while she's sleeping and like crawls on the ceiling.
Oh yeah, totally. Yeah,
and like she like pulls the cover over her face and you just hear the voice. That's like one of the genius things about this movie, and we're probably going to talk about this movie a lot, is like they do such a good job of giving you like the basic features of the monster and barely just giving you like just enough of the monster, and then to the point where like the monster isn't on the screen but you're scared because they like you know its hat, its hands, and like the voice and like the cloak. Right.
Yeah, because they do it, and it's like really creative. Because I don't think. Do you ever see like the details in person, or you? I think you only see them in the storybook, right? You only see it drawn out or in a cartoon. You know,
you see the face in the nightmare scene.
Okay, maybe you see the face, but overall, like, yeah, they hide it so well, and they just show you on like the perfect amount to like peak scariness level. because you never want to show the whole thing. That's as connoisseurs, we know that's a very common trope that works. Right. That's very effective. It's a tool.
Yeah,
the directors use.
Right. But yeah, no, I think the nightmare scene is awesome. Like, it creeps into her room and then like crawls on the ceiling, and then you see its face and you hear its like creepy ass voice, and she pulls the covers over her face and you know it's like right there.
Yeah, this was definitely a moment where I was like kind of like clenching up.
That was the moment where I was like, oh shit.
That movie, man.
Yeah, that's a great movie. I'm sure we'll talk about it more. What is your six?
So, there is this movie called We Are What We Are.
Okay. I have not seen this.
And do you know the actress Julia Garner?
Yeah.
I fucking love Julia Garner. I'll watch anything she's in. Okay. She's in this movie. And the plot of the movie is it's like a cannibal family where they have like a cannibalistic tradition once a year where they just eat somebody, you know, as cannibals do.
Okay. Only once a year.
Only once a year. It's like some religious shit or like something. You know? Julia Garner and her sister are very against this, but they can't voice it because of the abusive dad, you know, that whole thing's going on. And the entire time they're against it, and Julia Garner runs away, and she almost escapes, but she gets caught, and they get dragged back, and they're forced to eat the human, you know, but they're like morally against it. They're awful. And then at the end of the movie, Julie Garner takes a bite out of her dad's neck, and her sister just fucking go to town and eat the shit out of him. And just it's like a 2-3 minute scene of them just chewing him apart, and it looks like pretty realistic. This movie came out pretty recently. And it just is like, what the fuck just happened? Because the entire movie, like, I was really caught off guard with it.
No, I have not seen that movie. I need to check that out. Damn, that's crazy.
Yeah.
Spontaneous cannibalism. All right, my fifth. We've talked about this movie recently as last episode. My fifth is Would You Like to Live Deliciously?
Oh, of course. I had a feeling you're gonna bring up that.
Yeah.
Gotta find a way to fit that one in.
Yeah. We talked about that scene. It's a good scene.
One of the best lines, and I've seen it referenced on the internet since, and I feel really glad to be included in that.
You're in the know. That's the best part. The know.
Yeah. Cause it's a great fucking line.
Yeah, it is.
So, for my fifth, we talked about Us earlier,
mm-hmm.
and the scene where Elizabeth Moss and her husband get murdered. Do you know what scene I'm talking about?
Yeah.
And I love it because it's like a gruesome fucking murder, and they like in the movie they play the song Good Vibrations the entire time.
Yeah.
And it contrasts with the gruesomeness of the murder, like so fucking much, it's incredibly entertaining, and it kind of just made me smile a little bit. You know, it made me feel good. Maybe that's because I'm watching so many goddamn horror movies lately. And then at one point, Elizabeth Moss says, "Call the police," and to like the automated speaker, and the speaker says, "Playing Fuck the Police." Yeah. Iconic moment, very worthy.
Yeah,
but it deserves a place in my top six scenes.
All right, so you are going rogue. I like it.
just you fucking wait.
I can't. I'm already pissed. all right. I was an Us defender, I guess. Are there people who don't like it? I just didn't get as much buzz as Get Out.
I think there are people that don't like it.
That's absurd.
It's absurd. That's a great movie.
It is a great movie. It's not the best horror movie ever made, according to Rotten Tomatoes, but it's very good. Number four for me, we referenced this movie. We did a little bit earlier. This movie came out in 1933, and it's called King Kong. And the scene is when King Kong fights the Tyrannosaurus Rex. It's fucking awesome, man. I don't know what else to say.
Oh my god.
King Kong fights a T-Rex.
Of course he chose this scene. Fucking course he did.
It's the best scene in the movie.
That's a great scene. It's a great scene. That movie is just like...
It aged poorly.
Aged terribly poorly. No, absolutely. I'm just thinking like... It felt like a kid playing with action figures for like half the movie.
Yeah, it's just at this part, the action figures were a gorilla and a T-Rex.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
And it went on for kind of long, which I like. Well, I appreciated. I was like, let's make this the movie. Like, let's
the whole movie.
Let's not dilly-dally around here. Yeah. We have a giant gorilla fighting a T-Rex. Like, this is what we came to see.
This is what the movies are for.
It was Beauty who killed the beast. They loved that fucking line. They thought they were really smart for that. You could tell.
Yeah, it really did. Most of that movie was them thinking they were really smart and like woke, but they weren't.
It aged poorly. Terribly. The first 30 minutes are really tough to watch.
Yeah,
maybe that's why I liked that scene so much, because it was like, oh, that's that part's over. We get to the part where King Kong's fucking awesome.
Yeah, yeah, we got past all the races, and now we can just watch monsters fight.
Oh, and like, yeah, yeah, it's like, it's the racism is really bad, and then like, there's like, oh, there's that one scene, which is like, the worst romance scene I've ever seen in a movie, where she like, falls in love with Jack, and they're talking on the boat, and it's like, the least romantic conversation ever, by our standards, and she just like, swoons.
Yeah, that was painful.
Yeah.
He was like, it was like, he just was so, he was just an asshole, wasn't he?
Yeah, I don't even remember. He said, like, something like,
He was like, women something... aren't like that or something.
Yeah, he said, he basically said, like, women aren't human beings except for you. And, like, that was his pickup line, and it just, she fucking fell for him.
And it worked.
And I'm, like, not really kidding. Like, that's basically, that's almost... maybe verbatim what he said.
Yeah, it was wretched. It was a wretched fucking line. You know for a fact the only woman on set was the actress right there, like on scene, because nobody
crazy
else.
He was like, yeah, no, because he was talking about how like I don't like women on boats. Like they shouldn't be on boats.
That's
you
how the
can be on a boat.
Started, and it somehow only went downhill from there.
Yeah, and it ended up with them being in love. Yeah. But 15 minutes after that,
yeah,
King Kong fights a T-Rex, and it's awesome. What is your number four?
Alrighty.
What's your stupid pick?
The wonderful movie, Zombieland. Where
great movie.
Bill Murray was that? Yeah, it's a fantastic movie. The scene where Bill Murray gets shot in the movie in his house movie theater.
I'm down with that.
That's a hysterical scene.
It's great.
Yeah,
that movie's incredible.
That movie's fucking incredible. Peak Emma Stone. There is no peak for Emma Stone. Her entire life is peak. Let's get that out of the way. But fantastic Emma Stone. You got Woody Harrelson, you got zombies, you got Mark Zuckerberg, just wildly entertaining and really heartwarming too. I love that movie. And that scene is just fantastic. Like, oh my God. Who expected Bill Murray to get a shot when you're going to see Zombieland?
Did you say Mark Zuckerberg?
Yeah, he played the, it's the same
actor. Oh, he played Mark Zuckerberg. Yes, he did. Okay. For some reason, I was like, I thought you were just like, is Emma Stone, Woody Harrelson, Mark Zuckerberg. Yeah, no, I gotcha. Yeah, Double Tap, that's a great movie. Alright, my number three, my last three are kind of all classics in their own way, but I did the shower scene from Psycho here. I think it's a great scene. I really think it holds up. It's like, it's pretty visceral for like the time it came out.
Oh my god, I can't imagine the time it came out.
Yeah, at the time it came out, yeah, and It's just like a lot of quick cuts. It's like done really smartly because, like when the movie came out in the 1960, like you couldn't just show someone being gored to death in a shower.
Yeah.
God forbid.
God forbid.
God forbid.
Murder happens.
Let me tell you, I've seen some movies and that custom has gone out the window, my friend. But like, they sell it so well because it's like just a bunch of really quick cuts of like knife and skin, and then they like cut to like the floor of the shower and you'll see like dark liquid flowing in like she's bleeding. It's just like, it's really smartly done, and it really does feel like she's getting stabbed to death without really showing any knife to skin action.
Yeah, absolutely. They use the blood very well. Again, like, this was a complete left turn point of the movie. Like, she was the main character. The first, like, 15, 20 minutes was really just her.
Yeah.
And then they just kill her like that.
Yeah, just brutally.
It's a fantastic scene in a fantastic movie. In my honorable mentions, I have a scene from that movie.
Okay, yeah. But yeah, no, I really liked that movie. It held up. I wasn't sure. I was hoping it did, and it did.
It did, yeah. It was fantastic.
What is your third?
My third is the Hereditary, the scene of the sister's head decapitation. Yeah. This scene was just, like, the entire cut before her head was, like, knocked off, the entire time you were tense, like, something bad was going to happen.
And they really sold it like it was that she was, like, the possessed one.
Yeah, she was like the main character again. Like, it's the same thing with Psycho, and then she sticks her head out the window and you're like, oh shit, fuck, that can't be good. Smack. I'm sure that will feel pleasant to listen to me clapping.
Yeah,
with the headphones on.
Yeah,
but like that's how it felt when you were watching that movie, and it was like a shocking moment.
Yeah, that was, yeah, that's easily, that was so shot, and like, even like, Toni Collette's so fucking good in that movie, but like, when the brother just drives home, like, completely dejected, and just parks the car in the driveway, and then you just hear Toni Collette scream, like, the next morning, that's just, it's just a mind fuck.
Perfectly done. He sits there in the car after, and they show it for, like, over a minute, and
yeah.
It's fucking brutal.
Yeah.
Incredible acting. You can just see the deadness in him.
Yeah.
You know? Like, him crying in that scene is just devastating.
Yeah. Yeah, that whole sequence is so well done. All right, we're on number two. Personal favorite for me here at number two, the chest burster from Alien. When
Alien, but I'm blanking on this one.
The scene where the alien pops out of the dude's chest.
Yeah, I hated this. This is awful, man.
Yeah, dude, it's brutal. And like, you know, the legend behind it is that none of the actors knew it was in the script, but they didn't know it. Like, that was basically all practical. Like, basically most of the effects in Alien are practical effects.
Yeah.
The original. And so, like, all that blood and stuff is real. So, like, their shocked reactions, because they had, like, no idea, like, how gory and stuff that it was going to look. That's, like, the legend behind the scene. Sigourney Weaver pushed back a little bit, because she was like, it's true, like, we didn't know, like, what the effect was going to look like, and that is, like, a one-shot scene. But she was like, we kind of had an idea, though, when they dressed us all up in, like, hazmat suits to go film it. So
that's a fair point.
Yeah. But yeah, it's gnarly.
That is a gnarly scene. That was probably the only scene that, like, I had a physical reaction to,
right? You
know, like, where you, like, jump back or, like, put your hand over your face, kind of, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. What is your number two?
My number two is from Get Out. Where hand me the keys, where are my keys, you know, when the main character is trying to escape, and it just, that, like, I remember watching that in the theaters, and I, like, had my hands to my sides. I was like, oh fuck, get the fuck out of there, you know. Like, I had such a visceral reaction, and it was just so well done. He plays that so well, where he's both really calm and really, like, terrified at the same time. The brother's got a lacrosse stick, which is, like, classic fucking, like, douchebag scary, you know. Excellent.
Yeah, no, I Get Out was one I struggled with narrowing, like, finding one scene from. That is a good one. I that one didn't come to mind, but it should have. Yeah, that was, yeah, but, like, it was kind of like you were saying with the Babadook, like, I was like, that whole movie was just so great. I just didn't narrow it down to one scene. I have a number of honorable mentions. Do you want to go through them? From Hereditary, for me, I put on my honorable mention, which is just, like, the end sequence. I just feel like the last 15 minutes.
Well, I got a movie on my honorable mentions that just the ending, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, that ending to Hereditary was just incredible.
I also put on here the opening scene to Halloween, the original Halloween.
What was the opening scene to that one again?
Where Michael stabs the chick as a kid.
Oh, right. Yeah. Yeah, that one, like, because I knew the basic beats of the Halloween movie when I watched it, but I did not see that coming at all.
Yeah.
I thought he was going to die, but I thought, adult Michael was going to kill her.
Yeah. The opening scene from Jaws, it's just, like, the first shark attack.
Yeah.
Jaws, not on the Rotten Tomatoes Top 100, but Pan's Labyrinth did. Did we already mention that? I don't remember if we mentioned Jaws
specifically. I don't think we did. Yeah, that's a fucking outrage.
It's ridiculous. Some of my rogue options that I almost put in here, there's a movie, I watched this movie because I heard someone talk about it and I kind of regret watching it. There's one scene in it though that's like kind of a thing. I've seen it referenced now that I've seen the scene. The movie is called A Field in England. The scene is the tent scene.
Awful name for a movie.
Yeah.
Just right out of the
this game. Is like a movie that had no budget and it was like literally just filmed in a field. There's like four characters in it. It's wild, man. It is insane.
Okay. Explain. What's the scene?
So the premise of the movie is like these guys are deserting. It's like a old-timey battle in England. I think it's like some sort of Irish-English war. And there's like, I don't even know how to describe this movie. Because at one point they all eat mushrooms, and so like from that point on everything is basically hallucination, and it feels
you
like
mean
it.
You mean Midsommar?
No. It's kind of like that though. So they're walking around, these four dudes are like walking around a field basically, and they're all high as shit. It's basically the whole movie. But they conjure a guy who is like some sort of sorcerer at a point in the movie. It makes as much sense as I'm explaining, honestly. Like if you watch the movie, it will make maybe even less sense because they conjure him by turning this wooden post three times and then he appears. I don't know.
That's such bad writing.
They didn't even explain it. But there's a scene that is if you Google it will come up. It's called the tent scene from A Field in England. And it's basically this guy, the main character and this sorcerer are like rivals. And it's somewhat explained why, but the sorcerer guy beckons him to a tent because he has a tent in this field. And it just shows the other three guys, because there were four of them. So it just shows the other three guys who are standing outside the tent. And you just hear him just blood-curdling screams for a minute. Like, it goes on for so long, and you're just showing the faces of the other guys. And then he slowly walks out of the tent with, like, this absolutely demonic face, and he just slowly walks for, like, a minute and a half. It's, like, a three-minute scene. Half of it is him, like, screaming, and the other half of him is, like, this delusional, demonic face walking around. It is honestly incredibly unnerving. But
that's fucking awesome. I'm in.
The scene's on YouTube. That like just that scene. That whole movie's wild, but that scene is just it's honestly the context doesn't even help. So you don't even need the context. You should just look up the scene on YouTube.
I have to check that out.
Another rogue one I almost put in was the torture scene from Audition.
Oh, yeah, no, I got that one on my honorable mention.
Do you want to talk about Audition, or do you...
do I? I don't know how to answer that.
So, Audition is a Japanese film.
It is the most hardcore thing I might have ever watched.
I've never, like, I covered the screen with my hand more watching Audition than any other movie I've ever seen. I think it was brutal.
Whoever made that movie should be thrown in jail.
I saw a quote from like a critic that was like, the police should like investigate the circumstances of its creation and like consider jailing it the creators. So the premise of Audition, I'm gonna look up what year it came out. The premise is the opening scene is a guy who, it came out in 1999. The opening scene is a man and his young son, like his, I guess, 10-year-old son.
Oh, that kid's not 10. That kid's got to be like 15.
When in the opening scene, because there's like a time jump. Yeah.
Okay.
So and his wife passes away, and they don't say why, but it's presumably like cancer, or some illness. They're all surrounded by her, and she's relatively young. So that's very sad.
Oh, it's a very sad moment.
Very, very sad scene, and you're sympathetic to this guy. So then there's like a time jump. It's like 7 years or something like that. Yeah. And so it's just him raising his son. He's still single, and he's lonely. And his son makes like this comment that like, you know, you should remarry, something to that effect.
Which, like, okay, if we take out like the movie, like plot needs to move along. That's kind of a fucking brutal thing to like say to a parent.
Yeah,
like,
it really
your
is.
Life is sad and miserable. You need to improve yourself.
Also, the son is obsessed with dinosaurs.
Obsessed.
Like, to a weird degree. Like, no. I was obsessed with dinosaurs when I was 10, you know, or maybe probably younger even.
Yeah, you weren't, not when you were like 16, though.
Yeah.
Like, his entire room was dinosaur themed.
Yeah. And he's like, yeah, he's like 16 or 17. This is one thing. Did he work at a film company, like at a production company, or was it just his friend?
I think he did.
I think he did too. He worked. I believe he worked at a film, like some sort of studio production company, as like a business guy. And he talks with his friend, who's another producer guy, and he told him like his son, you know, he wants to find a new wife because his son was shaming him into it.
Was bragging.
That's not the tone the movie takes. It's all very sweet the way the movie tries to. But
that's not the reality.
That's kind of what I saw. And so they come up with this like really heinous idea. And so I knew it was a horror movie, so I knew that they were probably like that this was supposed to probably be bad.
Yeah.
Like the way they do it. But like basically the idea is they have a script for like a show that they were gonna make or something. They don't really have any real intentions of making it, but they decide to do like a casting call for auditions for basically like a lady to the role requirements were to like the requirements he wanted for a wife.
Yeah.
It's really gross.
Brutal fucking plot.
Yeah.
Fucking wow.
Yeah. And so like all these prospective actresses, like, you know, they send their stuff and like essays, and like he's reading them like, you know, he's gonna marry one of them or like start dating one of them at least.
Yeah.
It's gross. It's really gross.
The entire thing's gross, and at one point they have like the audition part.
And they do
like a montage of all the different like actresses trying out for this role, and I think it's supposed to be played as laughs, but it is super fucking cringe.
Oh yeah, and like all the gross questions that they're asking, mainly the friend.
Yeah,
but
actually, I said it's supposed to be played as a laugh, but I don't know if it is though.
I don't see. That's the thing. I think that's like the debate is like how intentionally cringy is the first hour.
Yeah.
I think it is, because it's a horror movie.
I think it is now too, but like when I was watching it, I was like, these jokes aren't landing.
Yeah, yeah, but, yeah. For
the
sure.
The movie was very self-aware of how awful this
was.
Oh,
it gets self-aware very quickly.
Oh, yes, it does.
But so it plays this plot line for, like, an hour plus. The movie is,
over
like,
half the movie.
Yeah, the movie's, and I'm looking at it now, it's an hour 55. And it's, like, well over an hour that it's still playing this plot line. There are hints that there's, you know, something wrong with the girl he eventually chooses and, yeah. like, starts dating. They like, know nothing about her past. And, like, there's just some red flags along the way. And then it takes a turn.
Oh, it takes a turn.
So there are more hints along the way. Like, there's, like, cuts to, like, her being looking exceptionally creepy in, like, her apartment.
Yeah.
Remember
yeah,
those?
Yeah.
Those are late. Like, those start over. Relatively early. Yeah.
She's got a body and a bag.
Yeah.
You know, not green flags, not good moments for normal people.
But then, like, at a certain point, she, like, disappears and he tries to find her. And then he, like, starts kind of hallucinating. And then she, like, knocks him out at his house. Like, he can't find her for a long time. And then
the movie did a giant line of coke and just fucking went for it.
Yeah, there's some of the worst things I've ever seen in a movie happen in this last 30 minutes.
They showed almost all.
When... I don't know how to put this lightly, but a man eats puke out of a dog bowl. And that for me... that for me was just... It was hard. It was really hard.
It was
to
hard
watch.
To watch. Yeah.
And it somehow got kind of worse. Like,
it did get worse.
Yeah.
It did get worse.
So, like, yeah, there's. So he's knocked out. And so, like, when he's knocked out, he has this, like, knocked out hellish nightmare. In which, like, the man in the bag in her apartment comes out, and it's, like, this guy who was murdered. And then she feeds him puke in a dog bowl, and he eats it for, like, too long on camera.
Yeah, I know. I did not enjoy it.
No. And then he comes to, and she's, like, paralyzed him. And then she's basically... we get to the official torture scene, where she tortures him, and she's torturing him because of how slimy he was, basically. Right? That's...
Yeah.
That's what...
Yeah.
That's what's happening in my estimation.
Which is... Like, that's why the movie is, like, very self-aware. Like, it's punishing the person who was the bad guy in the first half of the film.
Yeah, even though, like...
Maybe punishing too far.
She stabs him with needles. A lot of them, very slowly, very graphically.
And they show it all.
Let me tell you,
this isn't Psycho where they hint at it, or they,
they show her stick long needles through his body. Over and over again, and then she sticks the two underneath his eyes.
Oh, that was too far. That was my most, like, grossed out moment, where I just, like, I could barely watch.
Oh, God. And she has so much glee while she does it. And then she, like, she cuts off his left foot with a wire.
Like, probably a sharp the wire. Most gruesome way to cut off a limb, I have to say.
Yeah. She's like, look at this wire, it cuts... And she's, like, so gleeful the whole time. That's what's, like, so scary about it. She's just like, look at this wire, it cuts right through bone, and then ties it around his left foot. And you're like, oh, no.
Well.
Oh, no.
I don't know. I don't like this.
Yeah, I don't know. It's a... Yeah, it's a brutal one. That one made my honorable mentions, but it did not deserve to be in the list.
No, it didn't. Just because of how awful it was to watch.
Yeah,
it was too hardcore to even join this list.
What honorable mentions do you have?
What do I have? I have the witch ending sequence.
Yeah.
Pretty much everything from when she came out of the barn to when she ascended into witchiness.
Mm-hmm.
We already talked about the audition. I wrote the carving scene because I thought that was a adept description of it.
Oh.
Because she carves him up.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. On Rosemary's Baby, when have you seen Rosemary's Baby?
Yeah.
Yeah. When she walked into the devil worshippers party, and she like looks into her baby and is like, what have you done to his eyes, you know? And like that's when every like, because you don't know what's up with these people for the entire movie, and then it just kind of all clicks like at that moment. And she realized everybody she's been surrounded by has been in on this, and it was just incredibly well done.
That's a really good movie.
Oh, it's a fantastic movie. And then my last honorable mention, which might be your number one. I'm curious what your number one is. But the Exorcist man scene. Is that your number one?
Yeah.
Okay. we won't have to talk about it then. Yeah. I'm assuming we have the same number one. I'm assuming this is your number one.
Okay. Let's just go. Well, okay. I think one more I wanted to mention before we go. We'll pivot to number ones. Have you seen the movie Let the Right One In?
No, I don't think so.
This one I watched only because it was in the top 25. It was one of the ones I hadn't watched. I would have never watched it otherwise, and it was, I really, really liked it. It was on Hulu, and I put the pool scene. I don't want to say too much because I don't want to spoil it, but it's something near the end. That movie is a movie that it's best to go in knowing very little about, because it was not at all the movie I expected it to be. But it was, there's a pool scene near the end where you're just like, oh, and that's all I'll say.
Cool. I'll check that out. Let the Right One In.
Let the Right One In. Yes. Okay. Let's pivot to our number one. I think we both, mine's the head spin.
There was two head spins. Which one are you talking about?
The Reagan's head spin.
Yeah.
Or like her. Didn't someone else head spin?
No, I think it was just her, but I thought she did it twice.
Okay. Well, the first one.
Okay, yeah.
What was yours?
Mine was the, I think that was the second one, assuming there were two, where she also rose from the bed.
Mine was the head spin levitation stuff.
Yeah. Iconic fucking scene.
Yeah, it's so good.
It's also low-key hysterical. Like, the way she talks back to him.
It's a little
like,
funny.
Honestly, I was scared for most of that movie, but it also made me laugh out loud.
Yeah, I thought it was, like, funnier. Like, when she's, like, talking shit.
Yeah. She fucking bringing it to the priest. Yeah. The priest doesn't know how to respond.
Yeah. When when Reagan levitates, that is so good. I think there was, like, I felt like that was a direct call out in The Exorcist, like, that opening sequence. She's levitating for very different reasons, but there is levitation in The Babadook.
Oh, yeah. I thought, like, mostly The Exorcist, but The Babadook does this too a little bit. But the genius of The Exorcist is like, one of, like, just, like, our culture's safe places is the bed, you know? Like, that's where we, like, the whole, like, hide under the covers, you'll be safe. But The Exorcist takes that away. The entire horror part comes from her being in the bed.
Yeah.
Which makes it even scarier. It's really smart.
That's why Hitchcock put the murder in the shower. Because he thought, like, showers...
People felt safe in the shower back then?
Yeah.
That was, like, the old bed?
Yeah. Well, I mean, even still, like, you don't expect to get just, like, attacked through the fucking screen thing, you know?
No, that's true.
Yeah, no, but The Exorcist, that movie is fucking incredible.
That movie, it is both, like, incredibly scary, but also just such a coherent movie.
Mm-hmm.
So well done.
Which is crazy, because I think the writer and director were, like, hated each other. Like, I think that was, like, a very unpleasant set.
Like, there was like, a lot of tension. It was, like, Fleetwood Mac of movies.
I think it was. All right, so that is our list, our top six.
Oh, I got to give my top, my number one.
Oh, I thought that was yours. Okay, what is yours?
No, that was my honorable mention.
Oh, okay. What is
yours?
Yeah,
my number one is Silence of the Lambs. The scene where, I think it's the first scene where Jodie Foster and Hannibal meet. Mm-hmm. And it's so fucking well done. And yeah, Hannibal, like, completely, like, what's the word? Dissects her, you know, on, like, like attacks all of her insecurities, and then Jodie Foster like tries to turn the tables a little bit and be like, "How about you do that to yourself? Like, you're so good at picking apart other people. What about your like you?" And then he's like, "I fucking ate somebody that came to my door. I ate his liver." And then it is like that weird like sound, and it just it's like it's a mic drop of all mic drops. It's it just establishes everything, and he just shuts it the fuck down. It's so good.
Yeah, he's a great just character. Yeah, that's a great moment. That's just that's a really good movie. I haven't watched it in a while.
Yeah, yeah.
Alrighty, so that is our list. My top six horror movies. At number six, I had the Babadook nightmare scene. At number five, I had the witch end sequence. Wouldst thou like to live deliciously? At number four, I had the King Kong fights T-Rex. At number three, I had the psycho shower scene. At number two, I had the alien chest burster. And at number one, I had the exorcist head spin. What is yours?
Mine is the cannibal ending to We Are What We Are. I said number two right there. Oh man. My number five is the Us scene, the scene from Us where Elizabeth Moss gets murdered. Number four is Bill Murray gets murdered scene from Zombieland.
Continue.
My number three is the head decapitation scene from Hereditary. My number two is the get out scene of Where's My Keys. And my number one is the Silence of the Lamb, I Ate His Liver scene.
All very good. All very good indeed. We have another very, very fun horror-related episode coming up next week with to close out the spooktacular of a month,
and it's going to be quite the episode. We've been teasing it for probably about a month now.
Yeah, it's a new type of episode, a new thing. It's a whole new world. Boy, is it going to be something!
Oh man, it's going to be wild. I don't know how. Yeah, it's going to go.
All right, but before we leave, we have to do fuck this things. Do you have yours at the ready? I believe I have one.
You can go ahead.
Okay. Let me pull up my list. Okay, my fuck this thing is Anthony Davis's voice.
Oh, it is fuck yes.
Mainly because they're using him for that promo, and he sounds like a lame Kermit the Frog. I can't stand it.
I hate so much about every single Laker, and I hate so much about Anthony Davis. But yeah, his fucking voice is like he's a famous person. Like he shouldn't. He learned to talk right, dude. It's not tough.
And mostly it's because that promo is from his interview after he hit a buzzer beater to beat the Nuggets. But it still sucks.
It still sucks. Yeah, no, his voice fucking sucks. It's like chalkboard, like nails on a chalkboard.
Couldn't agree more.
Yeah.
What is your fuck this thing?
My fuck this thing, speaking of nails, is having to cut my nails every couple weeks. Okay. I hate cutting my nails. I find it very irritating, and I'm not very good at it. I'll often cut them too short. Or it'll be like lopsided, or I'll sometimes just forget one finger, and one finger will have a long nail, and I won't notice for a couple days.
Okay.
But I hate the whole process.
Okay. I mean, I don't know. I don't know what to tell you. I don't like. I can't have a rebuttal. You've made your stance.
Yeah, it's what I believe.
I mean, that's fine. Yeah, that's fair. I mean, I see what you're saying. It is kind of a hassle sometimes.
Yeah. If we had to do it like every couple months, you know, that'd be one thing.
Mm-hmm.
But it's much more regular than that.
Yeah, it's more regular than you'd like to think. I mean, I don't love it. It's not an activity I enjoy.
No.
I wouldn't say I'm an activity I'm bad at. But you know,
It's when you're like cutting with your left hand, you know, like it's a little trickier.
Okay, I mean, it's just like you have a lot of reps, is what I'm saying.
that's a fair point.
All right, so the fuck mistake is it cutting your nails or just the whole nail experience?
Cutting the nails.
Okay,
cutting the nails. I enjoy having nails. It would be odd to not have nails.
That's true.
Although it is odd that nails exist.
Yeah, why didn't we evolve past that one, Darwin?
And they tell us evolution is real.
Yeah. Look at these. There's probably an evolutionary reason for it. But I prefer to think that they're all fools. Okay. Well, that has been episode 84 of the Noah and Eric Show. Like we said, one more episode of the Spooktacular coming next week. We are very excited for that. But until then, fuck Anthony Davis's voice and fuck cutting nails.
I was working in the lab late one night when my eyes beheld an eerie sight. For my monster from his slab began to rise, and suddenly, to my surprise,
he did the mash.
He did the monster mash.
The monster mash.
It was a graveyard smash.
He did the mash.
It caught on in a flash.
He did the mash.
He did the monster mash. From my laboratory in the castle east to the master pit.